obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. From the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards, he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you, if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm very pleased that we started the Lenten season on a good note. So we had five Masses last Ash Wednesday. So we had the 7, we had the 12, we had the 4, we had the 6, and we had the 8. And all Masses, if you've attended one of those Masses, you will see that the church was full. Right? It was full. And so one of the things I forgot to mention in one of those Masses is that I hope that if it was at the 7 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock were a lot of people, if it was at the 7 o'clock, I hope and pray that every single day that amount of people would also come to church, you know, even if it wasn't during the Lenten season. But of course, when you talk about Lent, definitely we need to get our ashes, right? We definitely have to get our ashes. But of course, you know, the Lenten season not only is a time where we get to try our very best to do those three things that the church requires of us, like pray, fasting,
almsgiving, right? And just like I mentioned before, is that when we do all these things, we have to make sure that it must impact us. There must be an inward conversion that is happening when we do it. It's not only for the sake of doing it because it is Lent, not because we are aware that we have to do this because it is the Lenten season, because this is what most Catholics do. No, it's not that. If that would be the reason, then we would be very shallow Christians, right? We won't be any different than the Pharisees. And so it must always lead to an inward conversion. And so the Lenten season is always the time for uncluttering. And Bishop Robert Barron says that it is a time for us to go back to the basics, right? When you say go back to the basics, it's basically, you know, nothing complicated, right? And so when it comes to uncluttering, we have to unclutter what? That's the question. What do we have to unclutter? Well, is it uncluttering and going to our own closets and see if how many shoes we have or how many clothes we have that we can give to the Salvation Army or to the Goodwill or drop it off by the clothes and shoes drop off some of the parking lots? That's not the kind of uncluttering that our Lord Jesus Christ is trying to remind us. Uncluttering of anything that weighs us down. That's the uncluttering. And what are those things that weighs us down? Sins. And that's why whenever we celebrate the Lenten season, we always wear purple. Even during Advent, purple too. Why? Because it is a symbol, it is a color of conversion. We have to unclutter things that weighs us down or things that we know that can impede us from growing closer to God. But there's also another thing that we need to get rid of, that we need to unclutter. And what is that? It's the main reason, it is the cause why there is so much weight in our own life. And that is pride. When you look at pride, definitely it is the opposite of humility. Not only is it the opposite of humility, but it is also the absence of humility. And so when we try to unclutter, it means that we are trying to empty ourselves. The Lenten season asks us to empty ourselves of ourselves. Does it make sense? Because if we do not learn to empty ourselves, and if we are so full of ourselves because of pride, then therefore there is no room for God to work in our life. And that's why the church calls it, during the Lenten season, we must have a metanoia. And I'm sure you've heard this. What is metanoia? Metanoia means a change of heart, a conversion. And in order for us to attain conversion and to attain a change of heart, the church tells us that we need a kenosis. And what is a kenosis? A kenosis is a self-emptying. A self-emptying. Now, when we look at our gospel today, you will see that it's definitely during the first Sunday of Advent, we always hear the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a better way for us to start in the beginning of the Lenten season with this particular gospel, right? Temptation. Each and every one of us deal with temptation. Amen? I don't think you're convinced by what I just said, but okay, I'll go with it, right? So each and every one of us deal with temptation, for sure. But of course, before our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, we have to note that before he went into the desert, what did he do before he went into the desert? What? He was baptized, right? He was baptized. So during his baptism, there was a voice. And what did that voice say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Right? That was the voice during his baptism. And so when he went into the desert, definitely after 40 days of fasting in the desert. Now, I cannot imagine 40 days of fasting with our Lord Jesus Christ. I struggle myself when I fast for 24 hours, right? And so after I fast for 24 hours, I have to eat the following day for 24 hours, you know? But if I try to take a look at it, that would be gluttony. So we won't go there. But when you look at our Lord Jesus Christ and in his 40 days in the desert, you will see that his experience of being in the desert. Now, if you put yourself in the place of our Lord Jesus Christ and you are in the desert, let's say not only for 40 days, let's just say 2 or 3 days, right? Will you be able to survive the desert for 2 or 3 days? Just imagine the experience of being in the desert, right? You don't have anything. As much as you would like to find an oasis for you to quench your thirst or for you to satisfy your hunger, you have nothing. You cannot find anything. And just imagine the experience of that. We don't have anything. We don't have any control of anything, right? And so when the tempter came to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ, you would see that the temptations that he was offered made sense. It made sense. It was very, very enticing. And that's what temptations are. It can be very, very enticing. Whenever we are faced with a temptation, the reason why it is so difficult to turn it down is because we can always say, it makes sense. Or sometimes we would justify it by saying, well, I guess God gave me this, you know. But that temptation, though, it always comes in front of you as something presentable and as something sensible. And so when our Lord Jesus Christ was presented with these three temptations, first of all, why don't you turn this rock into loaves? It makes sense. You've been fasting for 40 days. I'm sure you're hungry. But our Lord Jesus Christ didn't go for it. He was also faced with being in control of something as well. You have nothing. Now I give you the opportunity for you to have control over everything. But Christ didn't do it. And I also give you the opportunity to have something. Here it is. As long as you do what I say, the tempter would say. But Christ didn't want it. But why is it, my dear brothers and sisters, that he was able to turn down all these temptations? Because when you look at falling for temptations, it always addresses the ego. Why is it that a lot of times we fall and we sin? Because we always think about ourselves. Our life becomes egocentric. It's about me. I need to be satisfied. I am entitled to certain things. I need to self-indulge. It's all about the self. It's on the focus on the I, the subjective I. But the reason why our Lord Jesus Christ was able to overcome it, because he understood. He understood his identity. He understood who he was. And he understood his mission. And he trusted God, as you can see in our gospel today. It's one of the things that you can always go back to, especially during this Lenten season. Reflect the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ and how it can help you overcome temptations. And that's the reason why our Lord Jesus Christ says, well, I trust in God. Trust in God, not just for the sake of saying that I trust in God, but I trust his plan for me. I trust his plan for me. As much as I would like to do what I want to do, I'm not going to do it. Because what God has in store for me is greater than what I want for myself. That's the first one. And the second one is he understood what his life was all about. When you talk about the Christian life, my dear brothers and sisters, what do you hear when you come to church every Sunday? What do you hear when you come to church every day? He talks about virtue. Yes, he talks about the Christian life, but he talks about obedience. He talks about patience. He talks about understanding. He talks about forgiving. He talks about love. As the acronym LOVE, living out virtues every day. That's our Christian life. But in order for us to live out virtues every day and to love, then do you think that it should only apply to yourself? How is virtue going to be efficacious or effective if you only apply it to yourself? Oh, I'm going to love myself. All right, I'm going to be patient with myself. Yeah, I'm going to understand myself. I'm going to be generous with myself. Do you think that's the kind of life that Christ wants us to live? The Christian life, my dear brothers and sisters, is not geared towards the ego. It's geared towards others. That's the reason why our Lord Jesus Christ was able to understand and overcome temptations. Because he understood that his life was not about him, but his life was about you and me. That was his mission. And he understood that. And that's the danger, my brothers and sisters, especially in the life that we live in today. You know, a first world country, a great country. We have everything. But unfortunately, we miss, you know, God in our own. Why? Because instead of being obedient and following the objective truth, we would rather go with our own subjective truth. And that is what the first reading is all about. God provided everything for Adam and Eve, right? Even after they sinned, he still allowed them to make clothes for themselves. That's how much God loves us. But when God created Adam and Eve, he provided everything for them. And the only instruction that he gave Adam and Eve, if they needed anything else, the only thing that Adam and Eve could have done is just ask. Just ask God. Just be dependent on God. I created you. I know what is best for you. And if you need anything else, ask me and I will provide it for you. But when God created Adam and Eve, and definitely that tree of life, he says, it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was there. But then again, what God gave them was not enough for Adam and Eve. And here comes the tempter, another tempter. He says, well, this is as much as Adam and Eve wanted to be obedient to God, here comes the tempter. And he says, no, that's not true. That's not true. If you eat the tree, the fruit of the tree of life, then therefore you will become like gods, knowing what is good and knowing what is evil. And that's why, eventually, Adam and Eve says, ooh, that's a good offer. I can't turn that down. Right? But that's the problem, my dear brothers and sisters. Whenever we focus on the I, on the ego, become like Adam and Eve during the fall. And the reason why they ate, that they gave into the temptation, is because they want to be like God. They want to determine what is good. They want to determine what is bad. And they did not want to depend on what God had to offer them. And a lot of us, my dear brothers and sisters, why do we have a hard time living a Christian life? Because we would like to do what we want to do. We want to dictate what is right. We want to dictate what is wrong. We want to be like gods. And that's why at the end of the day, you know, whenever we fall into that kind of disposition, I would say that we are just full of ourselves. And whenever we are full of ourselves, then therefore there is no more place for God in our life. And it's a struggle. Once we fall into that, it is so difficult to let go. Our life, my dear brothers and sisters, is not meant for us to keep. It is meant for us to be shared. We have to share this life. As we have received this life out of God's love for each and every one of us, and we possess that love, then we must learn to share it with others. And that is the Christian life. And it applies in every single vocation. When you look at the priesthood, when you look at being a nun, at the religious life, it is a sharing of one's life. We profess the vow of chastity, poverty, and obedience, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the church and for the sake of the people that we minister to. Our life is for you. We offer our life for you. We sacrifice our time for you. And same goes for the married life. Sacrifice is also needed. A giving of others, a giving of self to your spouse, to your children. That's why I keep telling, especially married couples, when you got married, you don't say, okay, now that we're married, what can you do for me? And a lot of them have that kind of mentality. What can you do for me? But that's not the kind of life that Christ calls you to live as a married couple. But rather, it is now that we're married, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And that's the reason, one of the reasons why, my dear brothers and sisters, I think that marriage does not work. Why marriage fails. It is because one party or both parties do not want to share their life fully to each other. And in order for you to be able to have that kind of giving of yourself, you must learn how to be humble. When Christ was tempted, he was definitely humble. He was humble before God. Humble before God. And of course, same goes for the single life, single blessedness. You offer your life and you try to be chaste, you try to be pure, and you offer your life for Christ in the service of others. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, in this first Sunday of Lent, we are already being reminded that yes, as you start your Lenten season, you will be faced with a lot of temptations. But in order for you to battle these temptations, always remember that these temptations only addresses the I, the ego. And it is very enticing for us whenever we are faced with that temptation, because we would like to grab it. Ah, it's about me. But always be careful. When you fall for it, eventually you already know that you will regret it. Because you know you did something that is not according to your nature as a child of God. So our Lord Jesus Christ is trying to remind us, being faced with temptation, remember your identity. Remember who you are living for. And of course, as we continuously persevere, right? What happened to our Lord Jesus Christ when he eventually said to Satan, "Get away, Satan." He was being administered by the angel. You know what happens, let's say, for example, if you have a family member in the military, or when you see a soldier, especially when you watch movies about war and the different life of soldiers, you will see that, for example, when two or three soldiers are left behind in the battlefield and they keep continuing fighting, they keep fighting the enemy, and it's only two or three of them, and then eventually the whole cavalry comes for backup or a helicopter comes to rescue them. What is the feeling of those soldiers? It's a feeling of relief. It's a feeling of safety. It's a feeling of joy. And same goes, my dear brothers and sisters. When we constantly battle every temptation that comes into our own life, especially during this Lenten season, if you are able to overcome that, you will also experience that same kind of feeling, same kind of fulfillment, safety, relief, and definitely grace. So as we continue this liturgy, we continue to pray for the grace of strength, the grace of perseverance, and the grace of courage to be able to live the kind of life that Christ wants us to live, a life of faithfulness, a life of holiness. Amen. Together, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ.